Behavioral Health Integrations podcast strives to inspire the next generation of mental health and addiction specialists. Our aim is to continue to raise awareness and encourage collaboration in the mental health and addiction industry so that it will continue to thrive. There are numerous approaches to treating mental health and substance abuse issues. On this show, we take pleasure in showcasing the diversity of these approaches used to improve the lives of others. So without further ado, your host, Jacob Minnig.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Behavioral Health Integration episode. Today, I have the great pleasure of having Dr. Sugi on my show today. Dr. Sugi is a licensed psychotherapist in New York and New Jersey, as well as a certified substance abuse clinician. In this episode, we'll be talking about many different aspects immigrants go through as it comes to mental health and addiction issues, the different types of obstacles they face every day, and what we as a general population can do to help immigrants get through these barriers. I, for one, am truly excited to get the show started. So without further ado, let's begin.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you so much for inviting me and giving this great opportunity in your all the hard work you are doing through this podcast to the world. Thank you.
Absolutely. And if any of my audience listeners did not know, she's a former TED Talk speaker. So she has a lot of great, awesome, and amazing experience. And we're in for one awesome big treat. So
thank you.
Dr. Sugi, what originally got you motivated to be a therapist in the first place?
That's a great question, Jacob. There are multiple reasons. You know, I'm originally from Sri Lanka, and there are multiple things. As you maybe know, 30 years of war in my country, we are secondary impacted, and the tsunami. And one of the things when I'm growing up is poverty, right? And you can see I am proud of my skin color, but in my country, I was so many times bullied and through that. Therefore, what happened was I have a really great family support. My father died when I was 3 years old, but my mom is my rock star. She helped me. And anything happens, I always after school go to her, like talking to her, right? Sitting next to, I do not know you guys know about it. It's a coconut shell. We put it, it's like a little chair. I put it that and I sat next to it and tell everything. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I get angry, all these things. Down the line, I realized that is one of the things help me to survive. There are multiple opportunities, Jacob. I felt to give up my life, right? And all these things, all the previously I mentioned scenarios. Therefore, I thought about it. And I thought maybe this is one of the areas like I want to pursue as a career. Another thing, I want to be a doctor. But what happened was that I'm so nervous to cut animals. Therefore, my mom is like, you know how you're going to be there without cutting the animals. And then I want to involve in the field, healthcare field. It's fulfilled. It's like a double achievement in my life. I achieve what I want in my life, as well as through my life experience, it gave me purpose, goal, this is where I should or I can help people better. Makes sense, Jacob?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of different cultures are in Sri Lanka mainly?
We are a very small country. Like a shape is like my hand. People think it's a part of India. We are not. We are a small island. And we have majority. It's called Sinhala. Minority, we have different minorities. Tamil, Muslim, Berger, and Malay, different cultures. But predominantly, we are doing farming, like a paddy farming. And you may be heard of best tea coming from Sri Lanka. And the other thing, we are majority of them are Buddhist. And I'm also practicing Buddhist. And that is where some of my coping skills, maybe you are going to talk in the future, meditation and all these things came through. Therefore, we are very peaceful, you know. And people, very hospitality is higher, kindness is higher, and I think 92 or 93 in education level, they are literacy level. Therefore, two key things in my culture is family and education.
Okay. So I have to ask you, when did you first come to the United States?
It was almost now closer to 25 years ago. When I was in my 20s, I came. Yes. Wow. This is my country now.
Okay. No, and I'm wondering too, is that what gave you the motivation to also like kind of specialize in immigration, mental health, and adversity, so you could like help fellow immigrants out in the future regarding some issues?
Yeah, that's awesome. And you saw my TEDx talk, Immigrants Resilience, as well. Actually, I did my doctoral research study also focused on that area. And I was actually able to, fortunate enough to meet four individuals who were focused on immigrants, mental health in the Harvard University. They were like so kind enough to meet me as well. We shared our thoughts and ideas. How it began, back to your question, Jacob, I studied in Sri Lanka, India, England, and last education in United States, right? When I'm going through all the countries, there was a process, like always, you can see my second language is English, but I end up having 4.0 GPA in my doctorate and honor society. It didn't come easily, Jacob. It was a very, very hard journey. For example, even my name, right? 20 some odd years, I'm hearing my name, Sugandhika, Sugandhika. Then suddenly, people were like, Sugi, you lost. You know animals, like, even when they hear the name, they turn your head, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I lost my name now. I went through multiple things, Jacob, and it's not only food, like your dressing, your wording, right? Sometimes people laugh at you. Like when I pronounce the word in the beginning, people like, what is it? I have to sometimes, I understand that 5-6 times to pronounce the same name, right? I'm very like not a person who talk loud, not anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I talk because I learn through my experience and knowledge, right? It's called adjusting process. You in the behavior health field as well, you know, it's acculturation and acculturative stress. I went through multiple stresses. Even when you're working in the work environment, I work in national and international settings. It's really hard. Some people even say, oh, you Indian. I'm not Indian. And they say, you guys work like dogs. And they were bombarding with work because I'm not that person saying no. Sometimes my kindness became a weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And there are situations like I really cried myself, go to the bathroom, come back and say, okay, because I am that person. Later down the line, I have to learn by myself to survive how to stand up for myself. For example, like authority figures, right? Jacob, in my culture, it's looking at their eyes, and for authority figure is kind of a disrespect, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody says, hey, Sugi, do this, I was like, okay, I'll do it. But now I know how to do those things. That is my background information, why I want to go to this field more into. I was like, maybe not only me, there are multiple people maybe going through these hardships. How can I help to them? That is where I started doing. Later, I'll discuss more into my doctoral research study about leadership and the acculturative stress. And that is where my beginning comes. Mm-hmm. I want to share my experience, my coping mechanisms to empower and encourage others.
Mm-hmm. Well, another bit of your information that I found very fascinating is, I believe your research stated that 1 in 5 Americans struggle with some type of mental health issue, right?
Yep. It is. And one in eight people in the world, according to the World Health Organization, NAMI says one in five. And if you want to go to the fascinating factor, that's where actually my research came. That research identified that the migrants, people who are coming from a different countries, have a lesser risk for mental illnesses compared to their counterparts. That's where I started like, wow, why? That's exactly where my research study. Sometimes we talk about immigrants in different layers, but why not be learning from each other, right? And take something to solve this pandemic.
Well, haven't you said in the past too, the reason their mental health may be a little bit better, or let's say they're more adaptable, is because of maybe the things that issues they went through in the past, but maybe the dreams that they have coming to America, where they do have that high level of resilience, where they're not going to sink and swim. They will be successful being here and making something out of themselves.
Yeah, it has multi layers, Jacob. As I said, I saw in the public figures, right? You maybe see many, many like Google, Pepsi, multiple companies' heads. The CEOs are immigrants, right? And I do not exactly remember the numbers, but New American Journal says 45%, I think of the new companies belongs to immigrants or their families, right? This is my point. When we are in our countries, most of them immigrants going through some kind of a challenging situation, either socially, economically, politically, something, right? When we migrate here, just come back to our shoes. What is our options, Jacob? We don't have plan B, right? We don't have anything else. Like, we have to achieve our goals, right? If we go back, we are going back to more troubles, more challenging situations, right? For example, I'll give it to you. When I came to United States, you know, they are not going to accept all our educations as it is. We have to evaluate. Then what happened was I didn't get all the exact similar evaluations. I did three jobs. Jacob, very first job is I worked in adult care center at midnight, right? Because nobody wants that shift. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. When you are new, Jacob, you know how people treat, right? They used me to clean the bathrooms, right? And they were watching the TV. And they asked me to cook for the members, like the patients, whatever you call them. You know, I feel like they are humans. But they used me to do every single thing. I did it my whole good heart. I never thought about the person who's getting the money for that shift sitting on the chair, you know? I was Sugi, it's okay. Like, I cried, frank with you, I cried multiple times when I'm cleaning it and everything. Why? Like, I got not for this job, but I want to survive. So for example, I had two options. We all choices, making choices, make us like, you know, success or not. I was, it's okay. I'm going to save some money. I'll go back to school. I'm achieving my goal, you know? And those are the situations as immigrants, Jacob, we have to go through. I think all these challenges we went through in our countries, maybe we develop some willpower, not to give up attitude, you know. And today I have a 9-year-old son. I don't think he can understand that concept of not have anything. Like when I'm growing up, Jacob, I have a hole in my shoe. I polish it using the coconut oil. Nobody can see there's a hole. And when the rain comes, it's the water coming inside. Today, my son has a choice. He's like, Mommy, which Nike shoe I'm going to buy? You know? I did not have, and he cannot even understand what is that kind of a scenario. Therefore, I have to work with him to like create awareness of, because he's in a different cultural background. Like another example, when you get a pencil, you know when it goes down and you cannot even hold it. My mom used to put a clip of a pencil, a pen, make it longer. Today, in a dollar store here, 12 pencils, $1. You know, he has a lot. I'm so thankful I was able to give that opportunity for my son. At the same time, my capacity of tolerating pain, tolerating things, and understanding others, where they are coming from, I believe, Jacob, it's higher because I went through, I see in my eyes multiple things. Today I'm taking him to my country every vacation 1 month and let him stay there to understand there are different parts of the world suffering in multiple things.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a long answer.
No, please. Yeah, there's definitely two sides to it too. You know, it says you want them to have a better life, the life that you never had, but you also want to teach them some resilience and just overcoming tough barriers in life too, where you're not always going to get what you want, but you still need to perceive and overcome those challenges.
Yes.
I was also wondering too, I feel like there's also two factors to it too, where, you know, when immigrants come over here, we like, U.S. American citizens, I think we're naive to a lot of the struggles they go through. Can you like possibly name some of those?
I do not know. It's naive to understand it. It is, I think it's the awareness, right? That's where I'm doing. Sometimes if you do not leave United States, right? I'm saying, you know, even United States has, there are multiple areas, right? They are really struggling in their daily lives, right? You know, and there are some people, there are discrepancies in, there are communities, like we have differences. Like, for example, the community I live in, majority of them are Hispanic. What I can do, Jacob, is I'm Buddhist, as I said, but I taking my son a few weeks back, I did a mental health awareness workshop, and it translated into Spanish, right? My son did the breathing exercise because I teach him, right? Because what's happening is people cannot understand. When we say, like, you know, tsunami came, we were like holding hands in my country, some people going to the flea market, then the water comes and one, like, their parents are already gone, they have to leave. You know, I think people having a little hard time, it's lack of knowledge, lack of experience, maybe lack of exposure. Therefore, we were like, what you talking about? Like, in my country, there are multiple people. They don't have the 3 meals per day. I know United States, sometimes you have some people, but you have food banks, you have shelters, right? And my country, education is free, but we don't have all these resources. Therefore, if somebody volunteer, you can give something, right? When I don't have food to eat, I bear my hunger, Jacob. Like, you know, therefore, if somebody comes to me when I'm waiting for a bus in the New York City, they come and say, hey, can you buy me something to eat? Somebody can say, hey, he has some ultra motives, but I automatically goes my days when I don't have food. You understand? Like, therefore, it is, I think, the most important thing we can create awareness among Americans or any other culture, even like, you know, who we are. That's my goal in my life. Like some people think when they say Dr. Sugi, wow, she is something. No, my life, my picture is not perfect, Jacob. Many, many holes in it. I work so hard. Some people doesn't want to share their stories. I respect for that. But I'm bold enough to come out and say my story. Even my story about trauma and rising about trauma, we'll talk about one day. I had two miscarriages. My culture, not having a child is something, Jacob, you will like, because we are, as I said, family-oriented culture. I suffered a lot. Therefore, what I'm thinking is people develop their own perceptions, attitude, and thought patterns based on what they know, how they hear, how they know, what they see. Therefore, if we are able to go there, tell our story, thank you for this opportunity, even however many people listening in the future or today, they can understand there are lives out there like this, you know, that will lead to understand them empathetically. When we are competitive, oh, we want to achieve something, oh my God, these people know, because we are doing that, we know the hardship, we don't have any other option. Makes sense, Jacob?
Yeah, and that's where I think your coping skills really come in handy, the immigration coping skills. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. It's coping mechanisms coming on. You are a behavioral health clinician. You know different shapes, different sizes. We all are unique, and not my coping mechanisms going to applicable to you. But I want especially people to know it's how important to develop some kind of a coping mechanisms to survive. Nowadays, what I see, people are very, very impatient. Yeah. The reason is because we use everything in our palms, and right? Like everything, you can Google it, you can go there to Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, any media, you can find whatever you need. Therefore, in like people cannot wait for a bus. It's impatient. Oh my God, the bus is not there. But where I am coming from, I'm not denying using social media, but I'm saying when we grow up, we didn't have that opportunity. We played in the wild, right? Yeah. And we are like outside embracing the world, right? And at that time, I think without us knowing, we developed coping mechanisms. For example, right, in my country, we did it garden, right? Because one thing is it's free food and it's healthy and all these things. Today, though I'm living 20 minutes away from New York City, we don't buy any fruit or vegetables 6 months. I have everything in my home garden. My mom is 80 years old, and my husband, my son. I let my son go outside without shoes. And you know, scientifically, it says how important. You name it. We were featured in many newspapers and the social media. I go there. I show it how soothing it is. Jacob, in the morning when you go out, I wish like there's no snow days, then I can have the whole year gardening. When you go out, the birds chirping and the wind comes, and it's my therapy, right? And as I said, my mom goes there, she touch using her hands, she don't have shoes in the summer, like, you know, and it's the team building, right? My son goes there, he do things, sometimes he messed up, that's a different story. But my husband helping us, It's a family project. That is the coping mechanism. You don't have to like pay $1,000 and buy something to build your mental capacity, your mental well-being. There are certain things in you, within you. And there's another thing, I did it. Now I don't do. I'm an athlete in my country. Hurdling is my event.
Oh, wow.
At that time, Jacob, I didn't know it's a coping mechanism. When people laugh at my skin color, saying dark girl and all these things, I was running, right? Running makes me to achieve things. Maybe that was one of my coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was meditation. Previously, I mentioned I'm Buddhist. Therefore, in our culture, as kids, we learn how to do meditation. Right now, I don't do like a long meditation sessions, but something coming up, prepare for something, I just close my eyes. It's okay, Suki, breathe in, breathe out. I do little, little things, like even today, before I come here to your session, I was like, few minutes, 2-3 minutes. Okay, I can. Like, I'm calm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I travel to New York, to New Jersey on the bus. At that time, I do a few minutes on the bus when I get a seat and meditation, you know? Mm-hmm. Those are little things I think we have to develop. Throughout my migration process, not only that, any place I go, having that helped me tremendously survive. And the other one thing I want to say, people think like when we are a therapist, we don't cry. No, Jacob. Mm-hmm. Crying is one of my coping mechanisms. As I said, when I had all the miscarriages, I cried. But I did not impact into my daily work or like it's nothing happened to my all these other things. But I cried. And I talked to my family. As you know, my culture, we live with extended families. Therefore, talking with the families, older, younger, you know, whoever have the maturity, listen to it. Still, I do talking to. Mm-hmm. You know, those are little coping mechanisms in my life helped.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed what you said earlier about, it's kind of like a DBT aspect of mindfulness when you're talking about going outside, feeling the breeze, seeing the trees move, and also just working with fellow people or your family members. So again, you also have that human connection as well in doing that.
Yeah, agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, which is ironic because sometimes like it's funny when I get stressed out or triggered, that's almost like the opposite thing where I want or what I want to do is be around people. I mean, eventually, but first, like, give me some space because I'm just so upset and angry regarding what happened, of course, in that situation. But yeah.
It reminds me something too, Jacob, when you said, like, give me my space. I do that too. I walk. You know, I was like, can I get back to you, like, internally? Yeah. Like, how I know when I get angry, upset or something, my hands getting very, very cold. My body knows what's going on. I'm like, in the past, don't take me wrong, I'm not a saint. But in the past, I was like, what you said? Like, you know, I really like instantly reply back. Now I realized how my body react. I was like, can I have a little moment? Or can I get back to you when I'm ready or in the next meeting? I really need little time to think about it. I use some kind of a phrase to like take my time rather than impulsively say something, like, you know. And those are little things. That's amazing. Thank you for reminding me that. Yes, I agree with you.
It's funny you mentioned your hands get cold when you get frustrated. It's funny because sometimes when we think of anger, like, we think of people like getting hot, they're red, their face gets red and whatnot. Not saying you're out of the ordinary. It's funny because we had a client earlier this week that would do the same thing. Like, her body would get cold when she'd get angry, and we all found that to be like fascinating in a sense too. So
I think I'm not 100% sure, or I don't have scientific evidence, but what I'm thinking, Jacob, our culture, we are not verbal people much offer, right? Like, for example, if any struggle comes or mental illness, we don't say like, hey, I have depression, I have upset or something. We used it through it psychosomatically. In our culture, we express to the body. We say like, oh, I have a severe stomach pain. Then like, okay, husband comes and like, oh, what happened? Like, maybe the core is there too. I need love. I need attention, right? Therefore, in our culture, we don't say it like a verbal. My son today, like he's, mommy, I'm angry. Like he says it. In my case, I don't say it. Therefore, that's why maybe Jacob, I was holding everything through my body. Maybe that's why the anger or the frustration, everything, I'm still, because I practiced many, many years to show it through my body. Like my body is my the language. And maybe that's why I'm getting cold. I'm not sure, but that's how I express myself.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, no, this is all really interesting information too. Would you also like to tell us a little bit about your current practice right now? Are you working out of New York right now or New Jersey?
No, I'm in New York and New Jersey, and I don't practice. Like I do lots of community service now.
Okay,
and I'm the chairwoman for VFW, Veterans for Foreign Affairs for the youth. I do that. And I collaborate with multiple organizations and do like Saturday, Sunday, or after work. Like even in my country, maybe you saw the post last week I did for the one of the open universities in the psychology department. There's a time difference. Therefore, in United States time 9 to 11, I talk about mental health, right? I have my own YouTube channel for it's in my country language. It's and I have English one recently started. I do videos because there's a huge need in my country for mental health. I use TikTok. I have closer to 10,000 followers all in my country language. I create awareness on mental illness. Therefore, what I now do, don't take me, I'm not a billion-dollar woman, but I have sufficient money to survive. Therefore, I started to give him back to my communities, even United States or any other country. Like last week, I did a podcast with one of the individual in United Kingdom, right? Wow. Like that, where I can, I go there, I volunteer in my time to do as much as I can. The reason is, I know the pain. I know how important it is. And then I want to share that if I can motivate, encourage, empower at least one individual, I'm so happy, Jacob. What I'm trying to do down the line, I will start my again private practice and everything. Not right now. As you know, I know my limitations. I want to dedicate some time to my family. And therefore, that is where I am now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I just have to ask you too, just moving down the road, what do you hope to accomplish for yourself in the next 5 years? Is there any projects you want to work on? Any area, any population you want to, again, put some effort in?
Sure. Thank you so much. That's a great question. I thought about it multiple times. As you maybe know, I selected as a Fulbright specialist program. It is for the Americans, like all the American citizens. They get the opportunity, professionals get the opportunity to go to other countries and help them, right? And I want to one day, now I'm in the roster, therefore I want to collaborate and go one of the countries and help them. In the 5 years' time, if I take it, it's both ends, right? One is I want to do something to the United States because that's where they gave my second life, right? And gave many, many, many things. And as you know, gratitude is one of the things we need to practice. I did the Yale University. There's a course, and it's about how to get your happiness, right? It says gratitude is one of the things. Therefore, I want to do as much as like multiple individuals need help. It's not all about money. There are less people today want to do voluntarily. Therefore, what I started is collaborating with, like you, multiple people in the United States and just do things as much as I can do. And technology is there. Therefore, we can use Zoom and all the other resources. And the other thing is outside the world, for sure, Sri Lanka is country who gave my birth and many things in my life, 20 some odd years. Therefore, I'm doing as much as with them, many things. And in the globe, and it's whatever I can do. That's my main goal. But when I grow older, for sure, I want to do my private practice and peacefully, you know, maybe settle down. Right now, it's my goal is 2023 is a year I really want to focus on others, because I went down, hit rock bottom many times. Jacob, when I say, believe me, some unknown people helped me multiple times. Without them, I'm not here today. Therefore, I want that person to somebody else's life and say, thank you, Sugi. Even if you don't say thank you, that's perfectly fine. But I want to be there. Especially I target the youth population and the immigrants. Immigrants, as I said, people talk about them in multiple layers. How many people talk about immigrants and mental health? I want to focus on that area. Actually, I was able to talk to some organizations working towards that, one of the CEOs. I want to give back to that population to survive. This is a great country. Use it, like show your resilience. If you need help, whatever culture you are coming from, break that cultural barriers, seek the help. Even my community, today I'm helping them. They are in United States. They don't want to talk about mental illness. Some people diagnosed with multiple things. They were, no, he's fine. Then at last, you know how it can end up being. Therefore, create awareness in the communities and provide the resources available. God's sake, don't take out your life. Like, you know, there are many, many resources. There are many, many individuals out there. This life is beautiful. Sure, there are ups and downs. As I said, I cried. I fell down. Let's help each other, be kind to each other, be a good human. That's my 5 years goal. Nothing big, exciting things.
Well, I support you 100% of the way. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of great things, and it's truly a blessing. And now, if any of my audience members want to get a hold of you, is there a particular email or website they could use?
Yeah, I have my website, as well as Dr. Sugi Mental Health. And I'm in LinkedIn. And I am in Facebook. I'm a family woman up there. If you like to join, fine. But I update all the family pictures. And I have a group in the Facebook. It says Dr. Sugi and Mental Health. You can join, and I have a page also in the Facebook, and I have two YouTube channels. My English one is Heal Your Soul with Dr. Sugi, recently started, and my other one, Dr. Sugi and Mental Health in my YouTube channel. There are multiple ways. I don't promise sun and moon, but if you send a message, I promise you, as soon as I'll go there, I'll check it. Whatever the help I can, I'll do it. Or I can refer you to a person who can help you with.
Excellent. And to all my audience members, I'll make sure I put that information on the show notes.
Sure. Thank you.
And thank you again so much for being on my show. It was awesome, and I learned so much from you.
Thank you, Jacob. I want to say, like, it's our Sunday, right? We have many other things to do. At least we can sleep, right? You did. You connecting with me many weeks back, and you are dedicated doing this, and truly, truly appreciate your time, your dedication to the behavior health and mental health community, and truly appreciate. I don't have enough words to say thank you. Thank you, and enjoy your rest of the day.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. Again, it was a great pleasure having Dr. Sugi on my show as a BHI special guest. It was a lot of fun and a great learning BHI experience. I just want to thank all of my listeners for your support. And just to inform everyone that the information expressed in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues, please seek the care of a medical doctor or a licensed mental health therapist. And if anyone has any further questions for me, you can reach me at my email address, behaviorhealthintegration121@gmail.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Jacob Minig, where you will find more educational posts on psychotherapy, trauma, and addiction. And finally, you can follow me on my website, which is behaviorhealthintegration.org. I also want to inform everyone that there is a great new device out there called CalmEgo. It's a breathing device meant to control and manage your breathing rates and the depth of your breathing as you inhale and exhale to, again, help relieve any type of anxiety and stress-like symptoms. And if you do put the BHI podcast into the promo code, you get $30 off this amazing device. It is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, and you will not be disappointed. All right, everyone. Until next time, have a good day. Bye.